There's a time to live and a time for a man to die. There are places for dead men in the earth and the sky. Don't you venture too far now, 'cause you can't come back from the place where the good guys always dress in black. When you go to the old saloon at the Dead South End, gonna find you a man there who wants to be your friend. If you dare to deny his wish, you'll be dead by dawn. So give him a drink and a smile and then move right on. Rednecks with white faces, don't go putting them down. Rednecks with white faces, they ain't no rodeo clowns.
Hello again, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Ring Respect Radio right here on the Video Bros Network. I am Bobby Munson, and I am joined, as always, by the man with the angelic voice. He is the throat of the goat. You know him best as Papa Smokes. Papa Smokes, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing awesome. How's everybody out there?
Hopefully you're doing awesome and watching a lot of great wrestling. And speaking of great wrestling, we're talking all about the National Wrestling Alliance, the NWA, here today, because Papa Smokes, we got to do some coverage of episode 2 and episode 3 of NWA Shockwave, which definitely got a lot of talking points to go over. But before we even get into the episodes, before this even went on the air, we were talking a little bit about the UWN, the United Wrestling Network. We mentioned them when we were doing our review of episode 1, and we didn't know a lot then. So since then, I went and did a little bit of digging into it, found out that UWN is kind of like an overseer, allowing talent to kind of bounce between different shows. We know that they are also linked up with Championship Wrestling from Hollywood, which is where we're seeing some of these faces come in for Primetime Live. Primetime Live are the ones that are recording in conjunction with the NWA, and then NWA are taking their matches from there to create NWA Shockwave. As far as I know, they're going on a little bit of a hiatus coming up. I know once we get to reviewing episode 4 of Shockwave at a later date, we know that was the final one of the season, so they will be back with more. There is some other pre-taped material, but I think they're going to hold off for a little bit, give the stars a little bit of a break, chance to be around their families for the holidays, and make sure everybody stays safe and healthy at the same time. So, you know, credit to the UWN for making sure that everybody's been looked after and taken care of, and making sure that that is priority number one, as opposed to making sure that there's content to put out in the world of wrestling. So from there... Oh, sorry, Pop Smokes, I interrupted you. What do you guys say there? So from there, I think we're pretty much ready to roll with the episode, unless anything you want to add there before we start rolling.
No, let's get on with the episode. This is a pretty good one.
It sure was. So we kicked off the show. Once again, we're seeing Camille being featured here. Camille taking on, again, I'm bad with names, so hopefully I get this right. Sharon Shirai, I believe, is the name of her opponent on this evening.
Yeah, I was a little confused about her name too, because I heard that name, but then during the match, the commentators referred to her as CC Chanel. So maybe she's got different names, or maybe she uses different names with different promotions. I'm not sure, but she's Camille's opponent tonight.
Yeah, and I think when we did our review last time, I kind of mentioned about, you could definitely tell Camille a bit green, but she's worked her ass off in order to look like the physical specimen she has, and, you know, really gotten to get used to the in-ring work and stuff. And I think it's paying off here, Papa Smokes, because what a difference between her previous match and this one already. I was a lot more into this particular matchup than her previous one.
Yeah, the previous matchup that we watched was more highlighting Camille as the strong ex-football player that she is, and the kind of bulldozer-type wrestler that she's going to be. This one was more. This one was a little bit more competitive, and Camille got worked over a little bit in this too. So we got to see how she would deal with some adversity as well.
But looked good despite the adversity, and man, she is going to be quite the name going forward. I really think that this proved that she's got that ability. She is learning every single time, and the work ethic that she is putting is almost unmatched by some people in the industry today. And I think she is going to be a name to watch out for in 2021.
Yeah, I also think that any company's division would love to have a character like her, or a wrestler like her, I should say, a very physically large and imposing and intimidating person, a big, strong juggernaut. I mean, she would be like the Braun Strowman or the Mads Kruger of the ladies division kind of thing. Whereas lots of lady wrestlers are sort of more or less the same size. We got Camille coming in at 6 feet and 190 pounds or whatever she must be. She's a good one to have in there. She's a good challenge for all the other wrestlers.
And let's just say that's 100, 190 pounds of pure shredded muscle on that woman. I mean, she is intimidating. Even I would be afraid to piss this lady off.
Yeah. I don't know what her actual weight is. I'm guessing that she's got a lot of muscle on a big, tall frame. So, yeah, like you say, a little bit green still, but working on it and working hard too. And she had a nice match against the Australian CC Chanel here. And yeah, they're just going to continue to build her against some different kinds of opponents. And we'll see if she ever gets up to the top for a title run at some point. And we'll all be waiting for that.
We certainly will. So up next, we had a promo from Aaron Stevens. He's going to be talking about the championship match coming up next week on the episode 3 that he's going to be facing Trevor Murdoch, that national championship match. Before we even talk about the promo itself, I don't think I've ever asked before, Papa Smokes, but what are your actual thoughts on Aaron Stevens, the wrestler?
Okay, well, first of all, I didn't really know him from his previous WWE run. What was his name in WWE?
Oh, Jesus, I knew you'd put me on the spot like this, and I can't remember. This is where Damian, we needed to hire a person to Damian check these things. Well, what was that again? Damian Sandow. There we go. Thank you. Okay. That clued in for me. And again, so many people were really high on Damian Sandow and WWE. I always thought that character-wise, this guy, I mean, he's comical and his timing is very comical. And I think that's what always stood out about him. He's got a personality that works and stuff like that. But yet at the same time, for me personally, I find that he gets so goofy to the point where I can't take him seriously as much as I'd like to.
Yeah, I kind of agree on that too. I also think when he first started in NWA on NWA Power, that I got what he was going for, but he didn't start to catch steam comedically or in any way for me until he linked up with the question mark and started doing the whole Mongrovian karate thing. Then he kind of started to pick up steam as a cowardly, preposterous heel. And that's when the gimmick started going for me, is when he became a shooter, Aaron Stevens, and a few other things that were just ridiculous kind of. And it started picking up. What I want to see is some good matches from him and some good ring work. That's what I haven't seen yet. He's pretty good on the mic and all that. Like I say, I admit I haven't seen a bunch of his work in the past, but so far for NWA, I haven't seen a good match from him yet. We've seen some silly matches and somewhere he's just been the coward champ and trying to get out with his title intact, and that's cool and everything, but I still feel myself craving a really good match from this guy. We haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, and I mean, there is the potential there. Again, like, this guy can talk. He's a character. I mean, he's got that part of it down. I'm sure he's got the ability to give us a match as we... You know, again, I think we might be able to find out when we start getting to episode 3 here. Might be something a little bit more to talk about. But, you know, this whole promo, again, the only reason it caught my attention is because I like Trevor Murdoch. And when I heard that there's going to be a matchup for the national championship with Trevor Murdoch involved, now you got my attention.
Yeah, and I like this match too, because it's kind of a dichotomy between the comedy guy who's a coward and just trying to hold on to this belt with anything he can, and then just the ultimate serious working man wrestler, Trevor Murdoch, you know, trained by Harley Race and you know, kind of echoing stars from the past like Dick Murdoch and Ree Stevens. I love his thing. I love his character, and I'm looking forward to this match a whole bunch.
Yeah, it's going to be a good one. We'll get to that in a little bit, but the next match up on the card here for Shockwave Episode 2, we got a match between Eli Drake, who we both talked highly about, and Eric Watts. I know I've heard the name Eric Watts, but I think this might be the first time I've seen a match with Eric Watts. How about yourself, Pop Smokes?
Well, yeah, there used to be a wrestler, Eric Watts, in the 80s. I quickly realized that wasn't him, but yeah, I kind of thought this might be a developmental talent right here, Eric Watts. And then I started to watch this match and realize the size of this guy, and I realized that he's obviously a high up guy in one of these adjacent promotions to NWA here. So I started really to enjoy his stuff. He has a match on episode 3 that's quite good too. But yeah, he used his size well in this match against Eli Drake, who's smaller than him, but obviously a very, very strong and very experienced competitor, and with a lot of braggadociousness and such. We saw these two jaw-jacking at each other at the beginning of the match, as the kids like to say these days. And what we understand from the commentators, Drake and Watts have had numerous bump-ins in the past and matches in heat against each other in the past. So this makes for an interesting match for somebody that's new to these two.
Yeah, and you know what? I was very glad you brought that up. A great job by the commentary team. Didn't know anything about Eric Watts, but then find out, like you said, this big, you know, intimidating looking guy, I mean, in terms of his physical size, quite intimidating. He's got quite a lot of experience behind him, and that him and Eli Drake have got that history, and that it was almost like Eli Drake had gone on to bigger pastures than what Eric Watts was able to do. Eric Watts kind of being left behind, but then went on to become one of the top guys for the UWN and for Primetime Live, and a former champion there as well too. So this guy, a lot bigger deal than what I would have initially thought from the beginning, but great job on the commentary team to come out and say, hey, look, this guy is a big deal. This is not your regular typical challenge here. Eli Drake is in for a fight here, and a fight we were. What a match it turned out to be. I thought this match was fantastic, Pop Smokes.
Yeah, me too. And if we ever had any questions or doubts about Watts before this match, as you watched it, he controlled a great deal of this match, which you don't see all that often with Eli Drake. He doesn't usually work from the bottom like that, but he couldn't get a handle on the superior size and strength of Eric Watts, and Eli barely made it back in his comeback. Kind of had to play possum and then hit the gravy train out of nowhere for the win, and it made for an exciting match. I know Watts was surprised to lose that one afterwards, and made good viewing for the wrestling fan.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we've already spoken highly of Eli Drake and his work, and yeah, a great job here to put him over, but man, I am now fascinated by Eric Watts. So, I mean, even though he took the loss in this one, I think they almost did a better job of introducing me, at myself, someone who was not familiar with his work, to his work, and now has made a fan out of me, because I want to see more of Eric Watts, which I'm glad we do get to see come episode 3, which we'll talk about in a little bit as well, too.
Yeah, and I'll join in on my thumbs up to the commentators for that one. Doing the job it's supposed to be done, informing the fan and selling them on the wrestlers.
Definitely. So next we had a promo from Priscilla Kelly. She is letting everybody know that she has got the title match coming up to the main event of the show. This is going to be a championship match between herself and champion Thunder Rosa for the NWA Women's Championship. Thoughts on the promo from Priscilla Kelly before we get into the match, Papa Smokes?
Not too many thoughts on it. I got a kick out of that she said she kind of tried to get the tears flowing, saying she thought her career was done when everything shut down to COVID, and but she informed us she's back and ready to fight tonight. So I guess that's the story of the struggle that she's had over the past year, the same one that we've all had. But anyway, yeah, we got a was this an NWA title match? Yes, I believe it was.
Yeah, championship on the line.
Yeah, versus Thunder Rosa, a huge favorite of mine among lady wrestlers. I full-heartedly believe that she's one of the best in the business, and that includes all federations. I think she could hold her own against anybody. Charlotte Flair, Asuka, and everybody combined. And she also has MMA experience as well, which just only adds to Thunder Rosa's legitimacy as a wrestler. You know that she's not just pretending. She can do all this stuff for real, and she can pin and submit and hurt an opponent for real, and it just adds to the believability and realness of this whole situation.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. Again, one of the best in the business, like you say, and could hold her own in any fed, and anyone would be lucky to have her on their show. I think Thunder Rosa is maybe often overlooked, maybe due to size and stuff, but man, you would think that almost wouldn't matter, because I mean, size-wise, she's no different in size than 90% of the women in all of the women's wrestling nowadays, kind of thing. But she has that legitimate background where you know that she could kick the absolute shit out of just about anybody that they throw at her.
Yes, I agree 100%, and I also respect Thunder Rosa for, she lives the wrestling business. Her and her husband are starting an all-ladies promotion in somewhere in Texas where they live, and I know that once a wrestler starts promoting their own federation, that they're interested in improving the business. They're interested in making a legacy for themselves beyond just being an in-ring competitor, but she's trying to get the ladies movement going even stronger by having her own fed that is just a ladies fed. So cheers and good luck to Thunder Rosa in that venture.
Yeah, maybe hopefully that'll lead to another connection for the NWA to utilize some talent and stuff like that, and give some of their talent a chance to step in a ring somewhere else and get that experience that they're going to need in order to keep themselves strong moving forward.
That's right. That's right. And another thumbs up to Thunder Rosa. What champion, or what at least ladies champion, but even amongst the men, what champion has been defending their belt more often on large platforms in the past couple months than Thunder Rosa? She's defended it on NWA TV, AEW TV. Like, she doesn't have to go there and defend her title in another fed, but she does it because she's a fighting champ and she wants all different kinds of opponents. She doesn't fear anybody. She wants good matches. She wants tough competition, and that's what a champion is. That's what I respect in a champion.
Yeah, she's done great wonders for the NWA and the NWA Women's Championship. But, you know, that's all the talk on Thunder Rosa. Now let's break down the matchup a little bit. What were your thoughts on the matchup with Priscilla Kelly?
Okay, well, I'm not very familiar with Priscilla Kelly. I recognize her name from somewhere in the past, but at any rate, this is the first match I've watched of hers. And to be honest, after we pumped Thunder Rosa's tires for so long, this match didn't really do it for me, Munson.
Yeah.
I have written right in here in my notes, this match is way too long, and I have 3, 4, 5 Ys on the end of that way, so I think it was way too long. Priscilla Kelly controlled much of this match, kind of more in the heel role, getting heat on Thunder Rosa. I thought Kelly looked awkward. Physically looked rusty, which may be the case if she hasn't had matches all this year, pretty much since COVID shut down. She used a lot of knee strikes and kicks, which is fine. I just saw a vast talent difference between Thunder Rosa and Priscilla Kelly. It kind of just looked, Kelly looked like a fish out of water, I must say, in this match. She looks like she needs maybe to go back to wrestling school a little bit. Her strikes didn't look convincing. Her defense didn't look good. Her bumping didn't look good. So as much as I like Thunder Rosa, I couldn't really get into this match because of her opponent, which at least in this match just didn't look good at all to me.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm right there with you, Pop Smokes. I mean, no disrespect to the work that they're trying to put in, or especially to Thunder Rosa, who we did bump up there. But again, this match was, it's long. And I mean, I'm not talking long like these 30, 40 minute, 6 commercial break matches that the Dub or AEW put on every single week or anything like that. This is long for a YouTube 1-hour program. I mean, you can have longer matches like this, but this was not the one to be having on this particular date. It didn't work. It fell flat. Thunder Rosa picked up the win, which is the right decision to be made here. Again, I guess Priscilla Kelly was made to look strong in the process, but I don't think it really did anything to benefit your champion by making her go this much of a distance with somebody who I don't feel was quite at that caliber.
Yeah, totally. I agree with that 2 months. And I think what this match did was it was attempting to make Priscilla Kelly look good, but she didn't look good because she needed some warm-up matches before this or something. I'd like to think that this just wasn't her best showing. I don't know her. I don't care what she thinks of my review kind of thing. But, I have the feeling she probably has and could do better, but this just wasn't her match. And then the way they had it booked to go so long for, a one-hour YouTube show, it wasn't doing it. And, that's the way she goes sometimes. Not every match can be 5 or 7 stars by Meltzer's view. Some matches don't work. It probably looked good or sounded good before they did it, and they thought they'd give it a while, but it just didn't turn out. That's the way she goes sometimes.
And hey, we're Ring Respect Radio, but we got to be honest. When we don't enjoy something, we don't enjoy something. It's no disrespect to the work being done inside the ring by the competitors necessarily. And just, you know, sometimes there's more work to be done in order to get them to the level that it become that level of entertaining. But, you know, again, that's what can become expected by watching some of these shows. These are a lot of the times people who are very new to the business or green, especially when it comes to wrestling on television, Papa Smokes, and there's a lot to be learned. So it's good to be able to watch that, see where they come from. And, you know, 2 years from now, we might be talking a completely different game when it comes to Priscilla Kelly. I mean, hopefully she gets those matches and changes our minds down the road.
Yeah, anything's possible. So we'll see what happens. But work on it, Priscilla. And we're looking for better things from you from the future.
Definitely. So that wraps up episode 2 of NWA Shockwave. So then we're going to roll right into episode 3, NWA Shockwave. And this one kicking off with another one of Aaron Stevens' wonderful promos, if you could call him that. I mean, again, for me, these promos with him are either hit or miss. Sometimes they can be interesting or comical. Other times, I honestly could fast forward a lot of what Steven says sometimes. It doesn't click with me like it does some of the other fans in the wrestling community.
Yeah, I'm with you on that too. And like we say, his in-ring stuff hasn't been all that great in NWA yet, but I'm looking forward to seeing more. His promos, he's kind of stuck on the mid-card comedy kind of thing, and that's fine, but I think this guy's good. I just also think that he needs to find his stride or, you know, feel a little bit more comfortable in the NWA or something, but I think it'll come along.
Definitely. So from there, we kick off our first match of the evening, this one between Nicole Savoy and former NWA Women's Champion Allison Kay. Good to see Allison Kay back in action, in my opinion.
Yeah, I actually thought she was gone from NWA from some of the chit-chatter on Twitter there, but I was very glad to see her back doing a match because NWA needs experienced and established stars like her. In either division, definitely in the ladies division as well, and former champ, and I like Allison Kay a whole bunch. I think she's completely convincing, both in promos and in-ring work. Really, really good wrestler, great promo, obviously has studied greats from the past in professional wrestling. I absolutely have no doubt of that. And she puts forth a great appearance, whatever she does on TV.
Well, that said, let's get into the match. What did you think of her encounter with Nicole Savoy here for an opening match?
Well, we talked on the last episode of NWA Shockwave about a ladies match that we didn't like so much. I think we were both in agreement about that. This one, the absolute opposite of that. I loved this match. I thought it was really, really good. I have written in my comments here, Allison Kay is a great professional wrestler. She's so smooth and so fluid. She's got great moves. She looks awesome. Her facials are excellent all the time. And she was in there against a good opponent this time, too. Again, I don't know much about Nicole Savoy. They call her the queen of the suplex. She definitely showed that in this match with a lot of good throws. Another strong girl here, too. Allison Kate, pretty strong, pretty good-sized lady also. And this was just an awesome match. So, again, sometimes you don't know what it's going to look like beforehand or you're just going on what it looks like on paper. But this is one that completely delivered and makes their ladies' division look absolutely excellent.
Yeah, I'm wholeheartedly on board with you, Papa Smokes. I really loved this match. Man, it felt hard-hitting. It felt like they were in a good battle with each other, very back and forth. Made both women look very good. Again, I would not hesitate to watch another Nicole Savoy match after seeing this one. But again, Allison Kay, I mean, I don't think I've missed an Allison Kay match that I, you know, in the last little while that I'm aware of anyway. I'm glad to see her on NWA television. I would hate to see someone of that caliber go somewhere where she's not going to be utilized in the right way or ends up falling on the back burner along with a lot of the other rosters that go to these larger companies and really they just don't know what to do with them or don't have the screen time for them or believe they don't have the screen time for them like they get when they come to places like the NWA or say MLW.
Yeah, let's just hope that's something that went into her decision to stay with NWA is that she's getting respect from them and getting a spot on TV and as one of the top ladies in their division, and she absolutely deserves that and showed it in this match. Yeah, I'll check out either of these lady wrestlers anytime.
Yes, definitely. So great match, great win for Allison Kay. From there, we got another matchup right away. This one, I was shocked to see this guy, DePope, Elijah Burke. He's back on television and NWA television, nonetheless. Not sure if all our listeners are well aware of this guy, but Elijah Burke definitely got a long career in the ring and then also as a commentator on Impact Wrestling for quite some time as well, too. And he was teaming with Eric Watts. Nice to see there. And we got a matchup, tag match, them versus Zicky Dice, who I know we were both talked highly about before, and Effie. But that goes without saying. 3 out of 4 ain't bad, at least.
Yeah. Well, the Pope had made some appearances on NWA Power, too, as kind of a managerial role. He always felt like maybe he was going to be getting into the ring at some point. But I'm glad to see him in the ring. He looks great. He looks the same as he did 15 years ago in TNA, and he hasn't really lost a step in the ring, and I was glad to see him with Big Watts. We talked about him on Shockwave Episode 2. Got my attention, and I think both of our attentions as a big heel character, and this was looking like a good match going in, but is this heel versus heel in this tag match, Munson, or what did you think of this
I almost think that in this case we are seeing Eric Watts. I don't know if he's actually a heel. I think he kind of played up to that heel characteristics against Eli Drake, and I think that was sold on their history. Not that they are actually both heel characters, but both babyface characters with a bit of animosity between them due to their past and stuff. So I believe Eric Watts still a babyface, teaming with babyface Elijah Burke or DePope. Definitely, when you look at the other side, Zicky Dice, no doubt a heel character, and Effie, whatever the fuck he is.
Yeah, I've never been. I've seen some of the stuff online, and I'm not really convinced with Effie all that much. I don't know what kind of a role he plays. He seems to be a face that does things sometimes like a lot of guys try and get away with now. I don't know. I find it confusing even as a veteran wrestling viewer. So as you settled that a little bit into, you could see that the Pope and Watts were the faces in this match because they were on the defensive for a lot of this match. One of the good things I could say about Dice and Effie as a team is that they use some old school tag team match, double teaming and rule breaking in the corner. I like that a whole bunch. Just for you, while the man on the outside chokes or strikes his opponent in the corner, and I like that stuff a whole bunch. So we tag team match going for a while there. The Pulp and Watts sold quite well for the majority of this match. I like Zicky Dice. We were talking about him in the past couple episodes, or some of the episodes of our podcast before. It seems like this might have been his last or one of his last matches. I have to say online about his treatment by NWA officials and all that, and felt like he had been done wrong by them a little bit, and I got him there. But it might have been his last match.
Second last, if I'm not mistaken, because he does have one on episode 4, which actually kind of ties into this, actually, because Elijah Burke at the end of this gives that promo that, you know, a promo that not many can deliver in wrestling nowadays, it seems, yeah. But it made sense. It was on point, and he challenged Zicky Dice for a one-on-one, which we'd see in episode 4, which we're not covering today, but we will get to down the road here. For sure as well, too, and a lot to talk about there. I can't remember if it's in episode 4. I'm starting to get muffled a bit, but Zicky Dice, either in this episode or in 4, I believe, gets out to the outside of the ring, and he actually starts making some derogatory comments towards Billy Corgan, which, now, I didn't really know about the animosity there, so I don't know how much is real of this. I thought maybe he was just doing some good heel work, but there could be some realism. But if I'm not mistaken, he actually calls Billy Corgan out, says, "Where are you, Billy? Where are you? You're probably busy at home writing another garbage Smashing Pumpkins album. I saw your stupid new video with you dancing like a moron," or something like that. I heard this and thought, hey, that's some great heel work on the part of Zicky Dice.
Yeah, well, I haven't heard that part yet, dude.
Okay, so maybe I'm spoiling episode 4 here ahead of time, so pretend like I never said that, and we'll get back to that when we get to that episode down the road.
Oh, way to go, man.
Yeah, way to go. Spoiling it all. But
I'm just kidding, but yeah, you brought up the post-match promo after he got win in the same match, and he had some pretty strong things to say, too. I'm kind of wondering that promo might have been set out beforehand, or some of it might have been a shoot. He had some pretty harsh things to say too. It makes you wonder what's going on in the back rooms of NWA and their affiliates at this time. There seems to be some heat going around. It makes it fun for the fan, but you're watching stuff that's been taped weeks ago, and then you're hearing about what's actually ongoing in real time. It's kind of interesting to piece together as you go back.
Yeah, definitely so, man. It's been an interesting time, an interesting show, but great job. Elijah Burke really sold me on this and brought me back to what made him interesting in the first place, back in his run with Impact Wrestling and stuff like that. So, you know, I'm sold on this one-on-one counter between Zicky Dice and Zicky Dice and the Pope, which we will see on the next episode. I won't go ahead and say anything more than that. We'll get to that at a later date. So great matchup, great promo, looking forward to it. And from there, we have our main event, Papa Smokes. It's the national championship match. This one, Aaron Stevens defending against Trevor Murdoch. So why don't you bring us into this one?
Yeah, we've already been talking about Aaron Stevens and Trevor Murdoch. Like we said, either of us is really convinced that Aaron Stevens is all that comfortable in his kind of comedy position at this point. I've said before that I think he's on to something good, that could be a fairly comedic spot in the show. But what I wanted to see was some good matches out of this guy. And then, like, sometimes when you ask for something, this is what you get. I thought this match was pretty good, and I thought Aaron Stevens worked as a rule breaker quite good in this match. He wrestles in the full gi. I thought despite his comedy leanings, that his in-ring work looked a lot more serious. He had some nice spots where he was choking Trevor Murdoch with the black belt. You know, that he's got the black belt in Mongrovian karate that he's been parading around and everything. Using that as a prop in the match worked for me. And then I thought this match was a pretty good showing by Aaron Stevens. I always liked Trevor Murdoch's work, so this match worked for me, especially as a as a kind of underneath championship match. What did you think of this match and the finish of it, Munson?
I thought this was fantastic, Papa Smokes. I really enjoyed this one. Again, finally getting what we asked for. I mean, you can only ask for so much comedy from a guy before you got to nut up and get in there and give us something worthwhile. And finally, Aaron Stevens nutted up and gave us something worthwhile. Even though he did not come out victorious, he did not look like a chump in this either. This was probably one of the best displays of his in-ring work, and it worked for me. I enjoyed it. I could be a little bit more sold on Aaron Stevens, seeing more of this from him going forward. And again, a big hero's win for Trevor Murdoch in winning that national championship, and how much it means to him. It was that real feel-good moment when Trevor Murdoch finally picked up that victory in the end.
Yeah. I also like the way they booked the finish of this, too, that Stevens had been rolling up Murdoch for the pin, but Murdoch reversed the pin. That was a very nice move. That was you can tell that Harley Race taught him that move, because that would be a good title match finish in the old NWA there, too, where you would be in the kind of match where you wanted both competitors to come out looking good, but you still had to change a belt over. That's precisely what a finish like this was for. I think it was the same finish used in Davey Boy Smith versus Bret Hart in the famous SummerSlam Intercontinental match. Love that spot. Love that reverse pin. And it looks legit, and it makes both guys look legit. I really thought this was well booked.
Yeah, very well booked, Papa Smokes. I love it. Big title change here for the NWA, which, I mean, they needed some shakeup, obviously, with the long period of time off. And Trevor Murdoch, obviously, a guy that Billy Corgan and the rest of the crew over at NWA can definitely rely on. I mean, obviously, they're relying well on Aaron Stevens as well. So they were able to get a quality main event out of these two guys, a quality championship match. And, you know, now, more so than ever, a quality national champion out of Trevor Murdoch as well, too.
Yeah, I think so, too. And before this match, I was kind of thinking to myself, well, good, I hope that Murdoch wins the belt, and then we can have a better champ with some better national championship matches. But after watching this match, I could actually get behind Stevens coming back for another program with Murdoch in maybe having a series of title matches where, you know, perhaps Murdoch retains for a bit and eventually loses it back, or maybe he retains the belt. I don't really care. I could go for more of a program between these two after seeing this match.
Yeah, it was sold to me well. I liked it. I enjoyed it. And again, like we said, for all the talk of Aaron Stevens and the comedy and stuff like that, this went a different direction. I enjoyed it, and I'd like to see more of it. Episode 4, we will see more of Aaron Stevens, but I won't reveal what just yet. He is definitely there, and we'll talk more about that at a later date. So great job by both these men. Great job of the booking of NWA. And this NWA Shockwave episode, I'm going to stamp this one. Episode 3 is the best of the NWA Shockwave episodes thus far, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think you might be right. I did like the title match in episode 1, but this maybe overall had the best match quality.
Definitely. So, I mean, we're talking 3 great matches here. Not a lot of filler in between, just 3 solid matchups. They all worked. They, you know, brought us in strong with a great one-on-one women's match, brought it into a tag match to bring in the middle of the card, that great promo from Elijah Burke there, and then finish it off with this monumentous championship match. Great job by the NWA and everybody involved there. Great job by the UWN as well, too, Primetime Live and the commentary team over there. Really enjoying seeing these faces back in the ring. NWA back in action. This is something we've needed, Papa Smokes.
Yeah. And I just wanted to say, too, we have our little criticisms here and there. I try and make it into constructive criticism. I'm not trying to crap all over any of these matches or any of these stars. I want them to succeed. I want them to do better. And whatever the NWA is doing right now by partnering up with some other feds, I think is just what they need to do to keep afloat, and I just want them to continue. So whatever you guys have to do, partnering up and splitting some costs and then trading some talent, as long as it works out and you can keep doing your show, we're behind you. And yeah, I wish them success, and I hope Billy Corgan writes a better song next time.
Well, I mean, that's something left to opinion, I guess. You know, old Bobby Munson didn't have a problem with the song and even bought the album. So, I mean, I'm just an old school fan of their music and enjoyed it. And Zicky Dice can go, you know, suck an egg or something as far as I'm concerned when it comes to his musical opinions there. But hey, it is what it is. It's good old heel work and stuff like that. Whether there's true animosity behind it or not, that doesn't matter. It makes for good television. That's exactly what this was. NWA Shockwave, great television, some great wrestling. I had fun watching it, Papa Smokes, and even more fun reviewing it with you here today as well, too.
Yeah, good stuff. Fun for me, too. I can't wait for episode 4. Would you say that's the last one, as it will appear as Shockwave? They're going to switch to another format after this?
No, not necessarily. It's the final episode of the Shockwave season for now. I guess they'll probably return either later in January or February once more has been kind of taped. I think they were just giving a little bit of a break to everybody, make sure that, you know, with the rising cases of COVID, that nobody's getting sick and that they're running into any issues with the, you know, breakouts of COVID-19 or anything like that. So I think, again, just taking those safety protocols to make sure that the performers are all well and safe, and that, you know, again, let them see their damn families over the holidays. Again, you know, wrestling can take a week or two hiatus and allow people like us to create our content to talk about and stuff like that, and give these stars a chance to go and spend time with their families. That at the end of the day, they're human beings just like ourselves and everybody listening. We all want to be able to have that time with our families around the holidays, and I was glad to see that they were allowing that to happen and allowing these stars to, you know, make sure that they were ready to go for 2021.
Yeah, absolutely. And any time spent away for a bit lets their bodies recover from the constant barrage that they're undergoing all the time. And yeah, like you say, I'd gladly take less content to know that the talent and staff of these federations are remaining safe and not sick. I wish them all the best in the future. Just keep safe, everybody, and we'll all enjoy our wrestling.
Yeah, exactly. So looking forward to reviewing Shockwave Episode 4 with you at an upcoming date here, Papa Smokes, and hopefully looking forward to some other great wrestling that we're going to be able to encounter here coming up. And hey, you know what? Let's keep fingers crossed. I know we've been saying it all through 2020, but 2021, I'm really hoping that at some point this year, we get that opportunity to put on another Prairie Pro Wrestling show in some capacity, whether it's middle of year, end of year, whenever. I just really want to get back and be in front of that live audience once again, as I'm sure you're itching for that opportunity as well, too.
Yeah, totally. Can't wait. And got all kinds of ideas and all kinds of treats in store for the fans. So as soon as we can all get back together and do it, we will do it. Be sure of that.
Yeah, and we're going to come back and we're going to make an impact, that's for sure. So thank you once again, everybody, for tuning into this episode of Ring Respect Radio. Papa Smokes and I wish you and your family all the best. Stay healthy, stay safe. And while you're at it, go ahead, take a minute to click the subscribe button down below. Hit that notification bell so you know when we release new material here on Ring Respect Radio, right here on the Video Bros Network. And as always, go and check out our good friends over at Backbreaker Media, who have previous podcasts of ours on Ring Respect Radio up on their YouTube channel, as well as on Podbean. So Ring Respect Radio really getting out there amongst the audiences across Canada and hopefully across the world. Wherever you're tuning in, thank you for taking that time with us today, and we look forward to seeing you next time. Take care.
There are places for dead men in the earth and the sky. Don't you venture too far now, 'cause you can't come back from the place where the good guys always dress in black. When you go to the old saloon at the Dead South End, gonna find you a man there who wants to be your friend. If you dare to deny smile and then move right on. Rednecks with white faces, don't go putting on down. Rednecks with white faces.